I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ah, it's the banger, banger, banger. That is the Wrestling Daily theme song. Hi, guys. It is the Tuesday edition of Alex McCarthy's Wrestling Daily. Sa'i Niangi. Man's out here with two shows a week already. Here he is.
Man's hot, right? You know what I'm saying? I'm on a hot streak. You know what I'm saying? Sa'i, E's for eccentric. Listen, right, yesterday a lot of people were talking about how they wanted to call in. Today's call-in Tuesdays. Those people that are running their mouth in the chat, you know, had opinions. Please, please bring it on today. I'm ready for it. Let's do it. AMAC, you and I, we've got lots to talk about. Before we begin, please get us the 15K subscribers. We're trying to do war games. You got Louis begging on Friday, like Baron Corbin, to be, you know, still be in the team. And you know, the thing is, I'm a man of my word. When Louis was in last time, I said, you know what? You helped pioneer Wrestling Daily. It's your spot. I'm happy to be JJ Dillon. I'm a man of my words. But you, Wrestling Daily community, you can probably go on a Wrestling Daily Twitter channel and you can vote. Maybe Louis needs to face me in a quiz off, maybe. Should Louis get the spot or should he face me off in a quiz, you know, in a quiz off? Maybe you should earn it. Nobody should be given anything. I don't know. You guys should decide. What do you guys want?
Let the people speak. Left us. Yeah. Listen, and I'm gonna put out a vote on Twitter. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna let my legions of followers decide the fate of, you know, should Louis work for it? Is Sat automatically in? Sat is officially a daily boy.
Three options.
He's a daily boy, mate. You know who I'm going with. It's just the way
three
we
options.
Go.
Let's do it. Either Louis gets automatically, I get automatically, or maybe we should face off. I'm not saying we're going to do any of it, but it'd be fun to see what the people want. What does the Wrestling Daily community want? We've got a Twitter handle. It needs some love too. So let's make it happen. Mods, whoever's in charge of our social media, let's do it. Yeah, Sat Attack. Listen, Shotgun Sats on Tuesday as well. Let's do it, AMAC.
Yes, you know that the Wrestling Daily does have a Twitter. It is at Rest Daily, so make sure you follow that for all the good stuff. We're going to be posting clips of the show, like when Sat goes off. There you will see that on Twitter. Speaking of takes, did you see how Louis got bodied yesterday by AEW? Listen, there was a part of me, a small part of me, Sat, that felt very sorry for the kid. But also, it needed to happen, right? He needed this. He couldn't go this long with his litany of bad takes and not go unchecked. Orange Cassidy had to cook the man. I'm sorry, he did. I thought he got off lightly, to be fair. It could have been a lot worse. But my word, the comments, they were worse than what Orange Cassidy said. The comments cooked the young man.
He's got lots to learn. He's got lots to learn, guys. Leave him. Leave him be with his bad takes. Upton, Avondale. My takes are not bad. I feel like I'm very diplomatic with my takes. Yeah. My takes are not bad, you know. Listen, all because we don't agree doesn't make mine bad. You know, you have an opinion. I have an opinion. Let's all be respectful of each other's opinion. Opinions are like buttholes. Everyone has one.
Mostly. Listen, here on Wrestling Daily, that is what the good eggs are all about. It's all good fun. But yeah, I'd be offended if I was put in a bad take bracket with Louis. I'm not going to lie. I would take that to heart. But
he might get more followers out of it, though. He might get, like, I mean,
he probably has.
For a specific reason. I mean, he's the king of bad takes. You must have a bad take for, you know, AEW to point you out. So,
What was funny is that half of Twitter, like whether it was Sean or like people at Fightful or just the Wrestle Talk boys, whoever, and everyone was just like, yeah, Louis's bad at Twitter. And he is, right? Like, I like the kid, but man, he's so desperate sometimes to say something like what he thinks or perceives to be insightful, or, you know, to get that engagement going. And man, so often he misses the mark. But, you know, and Orange Cassidy, I haven't even seen AEW ever do this before. I feel like they've done it. Just they've seen Louis' tweet, and they said, "You know what?"
Takes.
They were like, "There's something. We're onto something, yeah." Let's get some content. Absolutely unbelievable stuff. But speaking of AEW, man, let's get into our titular news. You know what we do at the top of shows. But before we do that, guys, if you want to dictate where this show goes, if you want to have a say, then you know what to do, man. You need to get wrestletalk.com/wrestlingdaily, and Sat and I would love to hear what you've got to say. And on that strength of that, you can see Steve H, you can see Matthew Ledesma, you can see Bubba, you can see Lizzie Stallion. There are a ton of Wrestling Daily members, the elite good eggs that we have right here on the Wrestling Daily channel, which you can be a part of too. It's a lovely, warm community. It's a succulent community. It holds you tender, this community. That's it. Look at Sat, man. He could drop off any second. It's a lovely place to be if you want to talk wrestling. And there aren't many lovely places to talk wrestling, frankly. So come on, jump aboard and let's talk. On that note, Adam Pearson's in the house as well. Another member. Look at that. What a bloke. What
Adam Pearson, bloke. I loved you in that film with Scarlett Johansson. You're incredible.
There you go. Not the first or last time Adam Pearson will be told that. Let's get moving on to Max Caster, shall we? News has surfaced today, Sat, that he was scheduled to be, I want to say it was on Elevation or Dark. I don't have the thing from to hand. It was one of the shows.
Elevation, for, I think, is the one of the dark ones. One of the darks. Elevation.
Yeah, just one of those. You know, they've got like three B shows now that Rampage is starting. It's fine. But either way, Max Caster, there was like 17 matches on the card, and then I think AEW took down their post hyping up this event and then replaced it, and there were 16 matches all of a sudden, and the Acclaimed had been withdrawn. That would suggest that Tony Khan thinks it's probably smart to have some breathing space, to let this situation cool down for those who've been under a rock, who don't know what the situation is. Of course, we're talking about the controversial promo where Max Caster came out and he was talking about the Duke LaCrosse rape case. He was talking about a myriad of things, including Simone Biles' mental health. And lastly, but certainly not least, the smell in North Virginia that he linked to young Julia Hart's privates. That's the most diplomatic way I could possibly say that. So, yeah, it seems that the match was taped. Obviously, Tony Khan has said it shouldn't have happened, the rap in the first place and all of that stuff. Caster, of course, has been radio silent since. But what they're saying now is that AEW have pulled it from this week's Dark. I'm going to ask you, Sat, because like they've set a precedence before.
Right.
With, like, you know, Sammy Guevara. And I know it's different, but he joked about rape and Sasha Banks, and he was sent to sensitivity training and was he was off TV for a while. What are they doing with Max Caster, and what should they be doing?
So first of all, I think they're doing out of mind, out of sight. They think if they hide him for a few weeks, people forget about it, because if you think about it, in a few weeks, either CM Punk or Bryan Danielson is going to, you know, debut for AEW potentially. That'll be enough to do a Trojan horse and sneak Max Caster back into one of the dark or dark elevation. And for me, I compare it to with Jim Cornette and the NWA debacle when he made those apparent racist comments. What happened was, it's a tape show. So basically, the editor dropped the ball. Whoever's in charge of editing those shows dropped the ball really hard on AEW. It's easy to blame Max Caster. Yeah, they were tasteless jokes, but Tony Khan needs to do a better job reining in those. I mean, he must have approved the promo. I mean, there's no way you could say,
well,
he said that
he didn't. I don't want to interrupt too much, but I just want to give you context.
No problem.
He said that only on Dynamite, and this is what Tony Khan says. I don't know, you know, it's up to you whether you think it's accurate or not. He says only on Dynamite is he that hands-on where he checks what he says before he goes out. On Dark, he leaves that to other people. There's a different editing team. But right. In light of this mistake, he says that he will now, moving forward, edit all shows. And obviously, Caster will not be able to go on air and rap without seeing Tony first. So there you go. That's the news that we've learned in light of this situation.
Yeah, but also at the same time, you got people. Okay, so the world we're in today, we're much more a sensitive world, which is for the better. But you get people saying they want an Attitude Era back based on, you know, certain interaction they're hearing. You know, we don't want to go back to the old ways from the sounds of things, from the outrage of people, rightfully so. But like I was saying, they need to do better editing. I think this Max Caster thing is going to blow over in a few weeks because there'll be bigger stories and bigger fish to fry. What do you think, AMAC?
Yeah, I said this when I think SP3 and it first all happened. Like, I'm sure he's not a bad bloke, but he's made a bad decision, right? Like, he's a young lad as well. Mm. So it's I mean, he's not that young, right? But he's young. He's in his early 20s. You know,
I heard he's 32.
Is he?
I've heard, like, someone said that he's 32. He's. I would have to do quick Wikipedia.
I'm Googling right in a second. Right. What is his age? Because I thought one of them was younger. He is
32. 1989. July 31st of July 1989. He's 32 years old.
Right. Strike what I just said from the record. Jesus. He should know. Jesus, he definitely should know better.
Like, Julia's 19.
Yeah, that's what was even worse. Like, for me, and I've said this before, like, having witnessed or seen like mental health struggles, like to make light of that it's not like you can't talk about them, but to make light of them for heel heat, as people were trying to qualify it as, that's just a no. It's just a no go. Like, it's taken a long time for mental health to be able even to be discussed, you know, into the volume and with the openness that it is today. You don't want to like set that progress back in the name of wrestling heat. To me, that's tasteless. The Julia Hart joke again, like, I would have said that's tasteless, but at the same time, I wouldn't have like cancelled the guy over it. I wouldn't have gone like, yeah, that's too much. Like, all right, you know, it's not, maybe not for some, but okay. But the mental health and rape cases, like, there's got to be easier, better material than that. I just feel like, you know, he was trying to be entertaining and edgy and it hasn't worked for him. He's made a mistake. Simple as that. He needs to learn. Right. He needs to grow and learn from it. That's all.
I was going to say, sorry, quite quickly. WWE had a similar case years ago with Abraham Washington. He got fired for making a Kobe Bryant rape joke because Abraham Washington was managing primetime players. If anyone remembers AW, Abraham Washington, he got fired for making it. Yeah, he got fired. So if it was WWE, they would have, you know, sponsorships and being PG, he would have got fired. AEW's still a new company, you know, building up goodwill. They're probably seeing it, you know, as a slap of a wrist, you know, offense. But yeah, if it was WWE, he probably would have got fired. Not trying to make a WWE AEW kind of comparison, but I just remember a similar case happened years ago.
It's context. Yeah. Like, you know, it stands to reason. I just think that's the thing that everyone needs to learn from here. You know, grow, you know, he is very good at what he does too. Like, I enjoy a lot of his raps, right? Like when he gets personal with people, but on these ones, he missed the mark and it's cost him, unfortunately. So let's just hope that everybody, and like you said, when I say everybody, I don't just mean Max Caster and the Tony Khan. The editing team had a long time to go over that and to see like, that might not be a good idea. So yes, let's hope that all is well on that one. Let me say this, by the way. There's a new member in Wrestling Daily. Chuck Cassidy, double C. Here he is on the Wrestling Daily team. Oh, man, I always try and find stuff, but like, I don't know what I've got for you today. I bought my daughter an egg at the weekend.
Yes.
Dinosaur egg, right? And this is a true story. The slime and everything. It came about one of the legs. Built it for her. She was devastated. Anyway, Chuck, I hope you enjoyed that anecdote. And thank you for joining Wrestling Daily. You're a very welcome part of the team, my good sir. Everyone make him feel welcome in the chat. Big double C. We do have some stuff to talk about. Oh, the bubble machine, Lizzie. It's outside. My daughters were playing with it in the garden earlier. I can't make that kind of run right now. I should have anticipated that. I'm sorry.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's talk about, because I haven't had the chance to speak on air about this since the weekend. I know you probably will have touched on it yesterday, but these reports going around that NXT is going to be changed. We've also seen a tweet today from WrestleVotes and Sean Rossap saying that the morale backstage is not good. Well, my response to that would be, duh, even if they hadn't have said that. I mean, look, you're treading on eggshells, right? Everybody, these releases don't look like they're over. Everybody is worried about their future. Of course, these tapings aren't going to be, you know, unless you're over 6'5", you should be very worried, I would say. And if you're a man, it's a difficult place, NXT, right now. But here's my take on it. I've seen a lot of different people say Triple H failed, right? Triple H didn't deliver what Vince McMahon wanted in his wrestlers. And thus, NXT being a feeder system and a developmental territory in name to WWE failed. I understand people making this connection. And I will say, I think Garrett Kidney made a good article about this for Voices of Wrestling.
Yeah, I read it.
And I thought he made several very good points. Triple H, I feel, did everything. Don't want to make a sweeping statement. He did everything he could to push NXT forward and thus WWE. Right, WWE have resisted this work rate wrestling, this indie style that people like to coin for so long because Vince McMahon believes that big, larger-than-life characters are what draw money. He believes that that is what sports entertainment is, that are marquee names, they are box office draws. He doesn't want to cater to you and I who want to see like a classic between two mat wrestling magicians. He doesn't care.
So true.
I understand this. Triple H, in my opinion, gave Vince McMahon an amazing chance to bring WWE forward, right? And WWE has got lots of wrestlers on their roster that can do amazing matches and tell amazing stories. We know this. They have some of the best talent in the world. That's indisputable, despite the product being what it is. But what Triple H did with NXT, instead of just making these generic, here you go, here's like a former NFL or strongman who's like 6'8" or whatever. I'm not picking anyone out there. I'm just saying like the template for what Vince wants. He brought in basically all the best wrestling talent around the world. And they they didn't just bring them in. Like, I've seen a lot of people argue as well and go, oh, well, he didn't make Kevin Steen or El Generico good. Like, obviously not. Like, but he did make them on a larger scale. Like, how many thousand people really knew who they were before NXT? There would have been Ring of Honor fans and independent fans in America. We're talking about a global audience. It's completely different. He got them over, established them in NXT as big commodities. It should have been natural to the main roster, right? Should have been, here's a guy who's had a great run here. Bang, here he is, Raw and SmackDown, or they, she, whatever. Instead, Vince was like, okay, well, no one watches NXT, so what am I going to do with this person? How do I see this person? And if they are a smaller work rate talent, he just doesn't have much for you, unfortunately, unless you are truly exceptional, Alice Shawn Michaels, Daniel Bryan. And even then, AJ Styles. And even then, you have to do a lot of hoop jumping to get to that point where Vince really loves you, right? Those guys didn't just turn up in WWE and become something. So I just feel it's been really hard done by Triple H and his legacy that everyone's like, oh, NXT has failed. In my opinion, and I guess this is equated to my tastes in what wrestling is, he produced a boatload of great talented wrestlers for the main roster that could have and should have been used, right? When you see Rhea Ripley coming up, I was like, oh my God, that's going to be an amazing injection for Raw. It's not Triple H's fault that Vince has struggled to find the right story for her. Triple H told great stories with these talent in NXT. And I think anybody saying that he failed in this assignment, the only real failure is the alignment between NXT and the main roster. Vince should have said a long time ago, should he not? Like, oh, this isn't really working for me. Like, don't hire or sign these guys. Or is he saying that he gave Triple H the chance and Triple H is the one who failed? Nobody can sit here and convince me Triple H didn't cultivate great talent in NXT that could have been used on the main roster. It's that simple. Vince's tastes, to me, which you could argue are draconian at this stage on producing wrestlers for the next generation and what wrestling is today. Take a look at AEW and what's working so well over there. It don't have to be massive to be great or a box office attraction. It's just great wrestling. And I feel like WWE, and they will want to be separated from great wrestling, but I feel like that is where this has gone wrong. Not the sense that Triple H didn't find or develop people, but NXT and their values and what made them so great, Sat, is not what Vince McMahon sees for professional wrestling.
Well, I feel like NXT was an island to themselves and it's become a detriment. I mean, I'll give you an example. So, hey, Mike, if we went to the WWE Performance Center and we were scouting for talent for Vince McMahon and we ran into recently released Leon Ruff, would you think Leon Ruff would fit Vince McMahon's main roster?
No.
When you see him? No. I mean, and that the thing is, I'm glad Triple H gave Leon Ruff an opportunity. You know, he also became North American champion, but that's kind of became the problem of the guys they were hiring. He's hiring guys that you knew had no chance of making it in the main roster. If Leon Ruff did go to the main roster, he would have been 205 live and running around for the 24/7 title and probably winning it and probably making jokes about the fact the belt can't, you know, fit around his waist. That would have been his ceiling. So I understand if in Vince's mind, I'm paying you money and you're just bringing these guys in that I have no use for, you know that I'm going to release eventually. You got guys like Conor Reeves, who's been there since 2014. He's recently been released as well. He got brushed to the side because the last time we saw him, he was the finest. Yeah, you know, he looked like Earth 2 version of The Rock. Yeah, I mean, it kind of looks like if you blur your vision and then if you're trying to remember The Rock from memory, if you haven't seen him in 5 years and yeah, with long hair or Scorpion King, that's Conor Reeves for you. They could have so much with him, but, you know, I think Triple H got caught up in the buzz of signing indie guys, the pops he was getting, the comments, the positive reviews of what NXT's better than WWE. If you hear that, you get drunk with the compliments. You start thinking, you know what? This is going to work because I'm doing it. But he didn't. He stopped developing wrestlers from the beginning. You got Rick Boogs, ultra charismatic, who appeared a couple of times as Eric Bugenhagen in NXT, and he didn't do much with him. And you had Elias, who, you know, had a middling kind of career in NXT, but did better in the main roster. You started to see the Triple H, you know, it started with developmental. He had to go on TV, but I feel like he had too many identities. It got lost, and they didn't know where they were. They were stuck. And this is what happens, you get stuck. For 2 years, it's been stale. Change had to happen. It's a change we're not happy with, but it was change that was needed. If you get what I'm saying, AMAC.
I understand what you're saying, and I think there are merits to it. But at the same point, I don't know if you can say Leon Ruff, there's a place for everyone on a roster. Like, maybe he wasn't designed, or everybody who goes to NXT can't be designed to be the next staple of Raw or SmackDown. But you can't tell me that Damian Priest isn't good enough, or the Undisputed Era as a group, or Keith Lee. They've had a ton of guys come through there just in the past couple of years. Ricochet's gone up there and doing nothing. Are you telling me that that's independent, right? So you just check Ricochet's talent to the side and everything he's capable of because he's not big enough. If you're making that case in like a defense of Vince McMahon, I find that ludicrous that you'd go, well, all right, well, who cares then? Ricochet, I'm sorry, mate, you're just not big enough. It's insane.
Well, okay, how long have you been wrestling fans? And we heard, like, this is the same guy that brought in Steve Austin and he went, you know what, you should be the ringmaster. This is the guy that brought in, you know, Dwayne Johnson, and he goes, you know what, you should be your father and your grandfather. Vince McMahon is the kind of guy that he's going to give you a crap gimmick, and if you're talented enough, you have to change his mind. Vince has never been the guy, Vince, we've got talent for you. Vince will look at him, he goes, right, you should be a turkey man. Or whatever. That's it, right? He's a big turkey man. Every time at Thanksgiving when he comes out, the kids are going to smile. That's Vince McMahon for you. We all know. Why are we pretending we don't know Vince McMahon? Vince
Pretty
McMahon.
Good, Vince.
Thank you very much. I can do old man Vince. I can't do Vince from the 90s. His voice has changed. I can do Vince right now.
It's very, very gravelly right now.
Yeah, I can do that. But yeah, so what I'm trying to say is, it's Vince. What do we expect? When this experiment fails in a year or two time, he's not going to blame himself. He's going to blame Johnny Ace. Bruce Pritchard might get fired again. We all know how the story is going to go. It's just that because I've seen it too many times, this is the man who screwed Brett, did a lot of crazy stuff, sexual harassment, all these kind of things, being on a trial. I'm not shocked that this is happening. What I do remember is before this happened, most people complaining that NXT is stale. There's a reason why they lost to AEW most times, because AEW's got a better product. AEW's doing what they did before much better now. You can't be number two. You don't be Coke or Pepsi. You want to now change brand and become, you know, a bourbon company, maybe. I don't know. You know, you want to change things up a little bit. So that's what Vince wants to do. He's paying for it. If not Triple H's money, it's Vince's money and investors' money. They're losing money because they built up PC. Triple H has great big plans for taking over the world. NXT, you know, Cambodia, NXT, wherever. But Vince is like, where are these talents? Triple H did a great job in the women's division. For me, his great legacy would be, you know, making women matter again on the main roster. He didn't fail. You got guys like, you know, Baron Corbin that did well, Bianca Belair, you know, Charlotte Flair. Heck, you even say Sami Zayn, because El Generico is a different character. Sami Zayn, the character, that was NXT built. So he can take credit for that. The Shield, you know, did a great job. Roman Reigns, you can say he's a product of FCW or, you know, whatever you want to say it. But Triple H has done some great stuff. Big E, you know, he flourished. You know, he came from NXT. There's a lot of, for me, there's pros and cons. I can't say bad Vince. Bad Vince is very bad. We all know Vince is, you know, bad, you know, shiznit crazy. The guy's nearly 80. He should retire by now. But because he hasn't, we have to put up with the craziness. For me, I'm in a place of like, you know, let's see where it goes. It's going to be a car crash. I'm ready for it.
I'm cool with giving it a try. And we are going to get to the call in a minute, guys. Just we've obviously been talking about all of the things that have been transpiring. So let me put the link in the chat for you right now. My thing with that is just, you know, you keep coming back to the whole like, well, you know, we all know Vince. My argument is he was wrong, right? Like, if the whole dynamic here is Triple H was wrong, or Triple H didn't, you know, he failed. To me, Triple H is the one who has his pulse on what current wrestling is. That's what I could tell from the success and the build of NXT. And I look over at AEW and I see them doing it extremely well. But because Vince is stuck in his ways and can't evolve or grow, that means Triple H failed and it has to go back to the drawing board. That to me is where it's like, you know, I get all of these asterisks where it's like, oh, you know, okay, it is Vince's company. And it is, right? But I cannot be convinced that good talent wasn't developed. Okay, like, the PC should have done more. That I will say. The PC should have developed more talent. But I can't, you know, there's no way did Triple H not have great talent signed and come through NXT. And yes, you're right. His lasting legacy will be not he just made women matter again in WWE. He made them matter more than ever. Like, they wouldn't have made the strides they have now without the four horsewomen and all the women that have followed. So it's, you know, it's just, I guess they are not under the same scrutiny that the men are for size, which is a different thing. We haven't really heard about how it's going to affect the women in NXT. It shouldn't. But that's my whole thing here. I think it's very harsh to say, okay, well, Triple H, you know, it was a failure for him and for it to end the way it did. Yeah, you know, they got cooked by AEW. They did. Nobody can deny that. At the same time, I think in terms of some of my favorite stars that are on the roster today have all come through NXT, give or take. And I just think it's really kind of glaring oversight to be like, well, you know, he didn't make what Vince wanted. Well, what Vince wanted and what progressive wrestling is, we don't all have to sit here and say, we can't question Vince. Vince is the almighty. You know, my brand of wrestling, and I think the increasing trend here, Sat, is that a lot of people who are going to AEW because that is their more current trend of wrestling.
Well, like you mentioned, so people, it's not like the destination is the result, is the end. The end in Vince's mind is they failed. They lost to AEW. He got embarrassed by it. So that, in Vince's mind, that no one can understand. I can't talk for Vince, all right? I don't know the guy. I can't talk for him. I'm just being, you know, devil's avocado in a situation because it makes the argument, it makes the discussion much more entertaining because we can't agree on everything. But in my being that shiznit crazy or sat shiznit crazy, like Vince McMahon, they lost the ratings. In Vince's mind, you know, he sent him out there. You were in USA. You're meant to beat the competition. You lost most of the time. Change had to happen, AMAC. So someone must have got in his ear, well, the reason why they lost, Vince, is because they got too many, you know, skinny guys on TV, Vince. You have to change it up a bit, boss. Oh, your arms look great. The vascularity of your arms. So,
yeah.
So that happened. And Vince said, you're damn right. It's them midgets. Why is there midgets on my screen? Fire all of them.
That was cool. That was very Gollum-esque.
Yeah. And then Bronson Reed, he's got no charisma. Why is he flipping around? Damn it. Fire him now. So that's what happened. Someone got in Vince's ear saying this is the failure. So in Vince's mind, Vince is now reminded. It will take a lot to change Vince's mind. So in his mind, let's go back to basics. You know, it sucks, but that's what's going to happen.
I do think NXT needs tweaks, is what I would say. You know, like even I haven't enjoyed the product like I did a few years ago. And if we're looking at the WWE model, the Royal Rumble this year, I think there was only two people under the age of 30 in it for the men, which is fairly obscene. Like that's a glaring indictment of where the roster's at. Whereas the underbelly in AEW, and I don't want to keep making the comparison, but I just feel like they've got much more direction. You know, a Ricky Starks, who I spoke to, that you can check out on Twitter now, by the way. Sammy Guevara, Darby Allin, Hangman Page, Jungle Boy. There is like a ton of guys in their 20s. They're ready to be the next wave and just kind of steadily progressing. Do WWE really have that? Not really.
Dominic Mysterio is the only one that comes to mind in terms of 20s. Yeah.
And he is great. But yeah, that's the problem. So I guess we'll have to wait and see how this all pans out. We can't tell exactly what's going to happen, but NXT is on tonight. They're heading to TakeOver 36. That's going to be either Adam Cole's farewell from WWE or his farewell from NXT to the main roster. We don't know yet, but things could look a lot different. Pete Dunne, apparently his contract's up in September. There is a lot to think about.
What do you think about that? Do you think Pete Dunne's leaving or you think he's just the oversight?
I think anyone in today's business would be wise to let their contract go down because AEW and WWE are like such, you know, there's so much on the table right there and wrestling is in such a buzz. You'd be silly to not leave yourself with room to negotiate and some leverage. So I think that's a good thing. I'm not saying Pete's done that, but I'd be really surprised if he was, I'd be surprised if he went, not so much Adam Cole, but for Pete, he's been involved in the production side of NXT, NXT UK. He's like, you know, he helped William Regal recruit guys over there. He's firmly entrenched in that product. For him to then leave, I mean, wow. I mean, WWE as well, this is a good point, helped him get his visa over to America, his whole family over there. So for him to then just leave, I just think would be shocking. Not out of the question.
Right.
But I do think he stays. Let's get to the call-in, shall we? I don't even know what order to do this in. I'm going to Rev JP is up first.
Whoa, I actually made it on. I'm surprised.
Here he is.
How you guys doing?
Not too bad, buddy.
Thank you. I'm in full gimmick here. I even got my dog to the side here just for a cheap pop.
It's a good pop. I like it. I can't see the dog. Show me the goods.
This is my little Mallory. I am not above a cheap pop ever.
Nor should you be. I wish I was dumb. How are you anyway, brother?
I'm doing great. I'm glad I got to be on here with Sat, the true agent of chaos. And I mean, I watched Monday and I couldn't watch it live, but I watched the catch up. And man, the hot takes and the chaos just wanted to watch it burn down. I kind of agree. You know, I mean, I haven't actually watched WWE live since Money on the Roof. I pretty much rely on WrestleTalk, you guys Wrestling Daily. That's pretty much where I get my WWE. I've been an AEW guy from the get-go. It's definitely, I feel like WWE is gone stale.
Let me ask you, why are you an AEW guy? Explain that to me.
Well, first off, just kind of I slowly watched everything as it slowly began watching from BTE and seeing some of the little storylines there, slowly developing the teasing of what's going on all the way to January 1st, where they introduced on the BTE their little phones and just slowly watching the whole build and just seeing some of it still carrying over. It's that they still keep building long-term stories as opposed to like WWE used to back in the Attitude Era. And I think that's what people miss is that everybody had a story. Everything was drawn out. It wasn't just, you're going to be in a championship match because, I don't know, it just, the sky's blue. It rained on Tuesday. Here you go. You know, there's no rhyme or reason a lot for WWE now. And I think that's kind of part of the problem with NXT is it's hard to invest in somebody that you really got a passion for, knowing that once they get to the main roster, they're just going to be somebody on the roster.
Yeah, I feel you. I mean, the main reason I asked that question as well to him, Sat, was because I find it very intriguing of like what turns them off WWE, but then what brings them back in for AEW. And I feel like Rev encapsulated it perfectly. It pretty much is the storytelling. Right?
It is.
Like that's the main difference. WWE, Rematch City, just match after match. There's no real story or anything. You know, it's just AEW is much fresher.
It was rematches, especially on Raw. Just constant rematches. Every 1 week.
And they've been doing it so long, the rematches. Like, it's not even just recently. It's been so long. It wore me down. Like, The Fiend brought me back for a little bit. I was stoked with the way they slowly built it. It was that little storytelling, the little nuggets that
don't
slowly
tell Ronda
built.
Rousey.
Yeah. But yeah, it's the little bit of the story that just suddenly made everything just come together, and then Hell in the Cell happened. And they just rushed the storyline. He is not a character that needs a title. He doesn't.
Right.
He's a spirit of vengeance. It's like he's like a ghostwriter, you know.
The only way he would need the title is if it was part of the vengeance, right?
Exactly, exactly. And they just decided, oh, you're popular, you're selling merchandise. Slap the title on him. We can make money off of that.
Let me ask you this quick before I have to move on to someone else.
Okay.
I want to ask you this question. You said Sat was burning down Wrestling Daily yesterday.
Just all the chaos there. Just sit back and enjoy it. Just watch WWE burn down.
Have you got a hot take? That's what I want to know. Have you got one?
I don't know if I have a hot take that's any different than a lot of people would say. Like, honestly, I do kind of get enjoyment. Like, if I watch WWE, it's something's going on, and I just want to see how bad is it going to be. That's like, if something's going on that the internet's talking about, my call. Oh, is this going to be terrible? I mean, I haven't had the network for a while, so I've paid for the network just to see how bad something might be. Like Money on the Roof, I want to see how bad it was going to be. And it was actually fairly enjoyable, but it was terrible. It was enjoyable for the wrong reasons. I mean,
two attempted murders, to be fair, you know.
Yeah, decent. You know, but you know, there's a smaller roof under the bigger roof, so it's okay.
As we should have known. Rev JP, wildly entertaining call, my friend. I hope you come back soon, but we have to get through some guys. Thank you for coming on, brother.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Guys, have a great evening, night, or whatever time it is over there.
It's night. Yeah. My man, we will catch you soon. Take care.
All right, thank you very much.
Stay blessed.
I am going to move to somebody I haven't seen here in a while. Annika Wilson! Hey!
Hey, Daily Boys.
Hey. What's going on?
Nothing. Just listening to the chaos unshoe.
That's what happens when Sat's in the house.
Yup.
Raise the roof, man. Raise the roof. Burn it down. How's it going, Aniko? What's good?
I'm good. It's just this whole NXT thing. And just basically the last month of wrestling has been crazy. And I just want to know, like, they sent Triple H to beat AEW with NXT, but NXT is a developmental brand. So what in their mind said that he could possibly beat AEW with these developmental wrestlers? I just need to know. I just need to understand.
If you see, at the time they had Undisputed Era, Finn Balor went back to, you know, NXT. In their mind, it was like fighting fire and fire because, you know, NXT and AEW kind of had the similar remit of having more work rate style of wrestling. NXT is also different from SmackDown and Raw. So in their mind, they were thinking fighting fire with fire, the fans will be divided and hopefully they go with NXT because it's a more established brand. And then they kind of backfired on that. Don't you think?
Yeah. And we can't say that it didn't work because they were cutting their views in half. But I just think if they really wanted to hurt AEW, I would have brought KO over with Finn Balor. Now, that would have been a real competition, in my opinion.
Kevin Owens, Adam Cole tag team, give the people what they want.
Yes. Be up DIY at all of that, man.
Oh. Now she said it, man. Now I want something I know I can't have. But, you know. Sean Ross Sapp stopping by to tease us. Look at that. You never know. I mean, I'm fairly sure if Kevin Owens had his way. But there you have it. I think he lives in Florida these days, I believe. So there you have it. But who knows, as the Imperial Sean Ross Sapp says. Annika, anything you want to tell us before we get some of the lovely good eggs on to follow you?
Well, okay. I have a hot take, too.
Yeah, this is the theme. I like it. Yeah, hit me.
Two fantasies of mine. Number one, Triple H, for his last ride before he exits WWE, goes to NXT and wins the title. I would love that. I would love that.
Hey, listen, after Vince says, you know what, Paul, we're going to have to change some things up here. He goes, yeah, you know what? Now I'm the champ.
I'll be everybody.
Cross them like a bug. That would be so good. I mean, it'd be awful, but it'd be some so good.
That's some good shit right there.
Yeah. I could call that guy up. Who's that? Who's that champion? Who's that Triple H guy? I could use him. Get him on the main roster. Get him up here.
And Triple H to AEW confirmed. I'm calling it. In 3 years.
Seriously. I will say this, right, for the Those are two amazing takes. I will say this. Both the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, when I interviewed them, had nothing but great things to say about Triple H. When he met with them to try and get them to WWE before AEW signed, Kenny Omega actually, to quote him or paraphrase him, was like, Triple H really understands. Like, he's the same mindset as us. It's just he's within the WWE walls, so it's different, right? But stranger things have happened. He keeps selling stock, Zach. I'm just saying, brother. I don't know.
I would love
buy
that.
PWG if he wants.
I mean, he's already raided them enough. Annika, what a wonderful call you've been, my friend. I hope you come back soon. All the love from us here at Wrestling Daily.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Take care. Oh, man, I see another hero lingering. Adam Pearson! Hello, brother.
How are we doing, gentlemen? I have no idea how...
Did you just Hardy Boys us into Finn Balor? That was a great intro.
I did. I had to come in hot because I'm coming in off the back of a dog, Triple H to AEW confirmed, and Sean Ross Sapp. So the bar for content has been set quite high. So I thought I'd come in hot. And, man, long week in wrestling, right?
We've literally got like eight people we've got in callers. We've already had some on. Tonight is the most stacked call in we've had. And, you know, I've brought you in, brother. You're like, you know, the middle of the show. Come on, man. Give me the goods.
Well, just watching this all play out on Twitter has been utterly frustrating. Like, the IWC sometimes, kind of this small community accepted, the IWC are the worst. I legit saw people blaming Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano for the downfall of NXT, which is like blaming Super Mario for the downfall of plumbing. I don't know how you get there. Like, at all.
Grandpa Ciampa. Cosplayer Gargano. That's where we're at right now for NXT. Come on, buddy.
And it's just so bad. And this is the first time I've debated just walking away from wrestling. This week with the NXT thing, the Ronda Rousey thing, I nearly got there with the Saudi thing. And now all of that combined is making me think maybe I'm getting just a bit too old for all this garbage.
I got to say, though, like, and I don't know if Sat may or may not agree, like, I find it exhausting too. Like, if you, particularly Twitter, mostly. Like, you could delete Twitter and I'm sure you could just enjoy wrestling, right? But, well, mostly, but it's Twitter is a very exhausting place sometimes. Like, if you just have an opinion on anything, you know, for me as well, sometimes some of the stuff I get tagged in, I just think, oh my god, like, you can't sit there and explain to people every single little thing of, you know, it is an exhausting place. But you shouldn't let that diminish your love for wrestling. I think, Sat, there's ways around Twitter doesn't dominate.
Grandpa Ciampa, that guy's been in a developmental for far too long. I feel like, for me, I think that Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa will do great on the main roster as a tag team, as it was originally set. Before Tommaso Ciampa got his neck injury, they were on the main roster with Ricochet and Aleister Black. That was what happened. But eventually, it got to this thing where people were allowed to stay in NXT, and then that's why NXT became stale. Because look what happened with Ciampa, hanging around in a going-nowhere tag team with Timothy Thatcher. Timothy Thatcher should be challenging for the NXT title. You bring in Timothy Thatcher for a reason, to give you work rate matches, not hang around with Grandpa Ciampa, who's like a dark cloud in NXT, a reminder of why it's gone stale. And my God, Gargano. How many times are we going to repackage the guy? Heel, babyface, heel. That's when you know when you got nothing for a guy, when you're constantly changing his character. Come on, Adam. That's the reason why. They're putting the blame on their shoulders, because they're the two guys that should have left a long time ago. We could have Kona Reeves in the main event. We could have Rick Boogs. Eric Bugenhagen could be in the main event. We've got Zachariah Smith, who's 7 foot tall. We've got Giant Zangier, who's 7 foot tall. But Triple H's not really doing much with them because he's focusing on the guys that's been there for a long time. Let's come up with something for Gargano. Let's come up with something for Ciampa. And they've been there for too long, and they were a detriment in the end. In the beginning, they were part of the positive. But towards the end, I called him a detriment to why NXT's gone back to the Dark Ages now.
I can't agree with half of that, but I'll let Adam continue. Yeah.
So what? So then what I think the problem is, and you both sort of touched on it earlier, that pathway, that hangover period from NXT to the main roster is just so problematic, because as we said, it's not what Vince wants. But what Vince wants, in my opinion, is archaic and dangerous. He wants big, muscly men wrestling big, muscly men. However, if we look back...
Me.
But if we look back, a lot of the guys couldn't get there naturally. So how many more Umagas do we need? Stories like that. How many more stories of tests do we need? And I worry with that... With a return to that mindset, will come a return to the steroid era of WWE, which isn't good for anyone.
And well, I think a lot of people have said that people like Daniel Bryan had broken down barriers, and it kind of feels like this news, you know, everyone just kind of disappointed because it feels like it's a regression. You know what I mean? Like, it has to be the big guys again. And I mean, look, I think talented wrestlers come in all shapes and sizes. That's just me personally. They don't have to me. It's not like a tuning. I get it that once upon a time, like a 7 foot guy would draw people to an arena like decades ago. I don't really think that's the way the world works anymore, but you know, I could be wrong.
Well, no, it isn't. That level of almost vaudevillian spectacle has mostly gone, certainly in the US and the UK scene. I get that guys like Great Khali still draw in India for those kind of reasons, but certainly over here, that just doesn't happen anymore. He's killed two people. And, you know, that doesn't happen over here anymore. And I suppose it's just a little bit heartbreaking in a way that, as we say, guys like Daniel Bryan and CM Punk and what have you broke down all those barriers. And then we let them walk away and go to AEW. And for a company that advertised themselves as now, then, together, forever, because I guess today, tomorrow, released Liquidate didn't roll off the tongue as well. I don't know. Been a bit of a sad week and a heavy week for my inner child, who's a massive wrestling fan still.
No, Adam, get that smile, my friend. Bring it back. Don't deprive us of the Adam Pearson smile. But with that, hopefully you come back next week, brother, because we need to sneak some people on before the end of the show. So,
Rodden's throwing me off. Can I have Vince McMahon tell me to get the F out of his office? Can that be how I go?
Adam, get the F out of my office right now. Get out! You disgrace me.
Hit the bricks! There you go. Amazing. Amazing. Is Carissa Lopez, fantasy booker extraordinaire. How are you, Carissa?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Very good, thank you. Very good. We're going to try... I never do this, but I'm going to try anyway. 3 or 4 minutes, Carissa, so we can get other people in. What do you want to talk to us about tonight? Tell me.
The same topic you guys are talking about, NXT, you know, the rumors that have been spread out saying, oh, they want to have a specific like age group or like weight or whatever. I believe that when I started watching NXT, it was like a talent show or something like that initially. Now, I watched it after so many years. I think when I watched it in 2019, I loved it. You know, everything about it. It had cruiserweights, heavyweights. The storylines were there. You could see a lot of progression within character work, and a lot of, like, the booking was better than what we see on the main roster. Every Monday on Monday Night Raw, which I hate so much, rematch after rematch, it takes the fun out of it. It takes the fun out of Monday Night Raw, and it takes the fun out of WWE, so I don't like that. And SmackDown has been a progressing show in a bit, but we still see a lot of rematches, a lot of repetitiveness that shouldn't be there. Compared to AEW, they have long-term storytelling within a year worth of a story. I think I've been sticking with AEW for a while, and I think they're amazing. The booking is fantastic. The way that they show off new people from the indie scene, people that are unsigned, people that, you know, have been trying to get their foot in for the wrestling scene. I think AEW has done that tremendously well, but WWE needs to either Vince gets like leaves WWE, retires, and have Hunter take over. I think I would love that. like him just taking over Raw, SmackDown, and NXT. I think that'll be amazing. I just don't want Vince to just give us. I don't want him to give us this anymore. Like, I'm tired of it. I'm so tired of it. I've been looking at different promotions now: New Japan, Ring of Honor, AEW. Like, all these other promotions have been having these forbidden doors open. You see a lot of companies working together. I think that's amazing. So that's something I hate of WWE: the booking, the repetitiveness, the rematches. I don't like it.
I thought that was excellently surmised, actually, Sat. And I will say this: you're not the only one. You're not the only one. The numbers would tell us that a lot of people feel like you do. But of course, Vince McMahon knows best, and he's a billionaire and he'll do whatever the hell he wants, apparently. So, and we're just going to have to like it. Carissa, great call, my friend. Please come back next week. You're one of my favorites. I will speak to you soon, my friend.
Take care. Thank you for coming.
I'll tell you what, before we move forward here, I saw... Mixed Partial Fart says, I have no septum surgery tomorrow. Wish me good luck. Good luck, brother.
Good luck, buddy.
Everyone here, Wrestling Daily, you can be a daily boy for the day. There you go. Honorary daily boy to make sure your nose goes fine. There you go, brother. Hope that's all good. I'm trying to look who's been in here the longest. Dion Chua. He's not even... Are you there?
Hi.
Are you hiding?
I'm back.
You're like ET vibe. Famous. What's going on, brother? It's cold.
Yeah, it's cold.
Where are you?
I'm in my room.
I know that. Where in the world?
It's almost bedtime, man. It's always late here. So yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Be back here.
You've got 3 minutes, brother, to lay it on the line. Tell us what you want to talk about.
Okay, I'm going to talk about the releases, and it's like very frustrating. The way they release the people is like very wrong. Like, what Mercedes Martinez was concussed, and then she got released, which really, really pissed me off. And then after that, there's like the people who have been on the shows and the groups like Tyler Rust on Diamond Mine, then. He's been released, so why should we care now? Like, I don't know. And then after that, there's the frequent releases every week, which also like frustrates me a lot. Then it's like very hard to do like take in all at once.
I mean, it's like frustrating, right? And knowing that the releases are not done, does that kind of leave you, you know what I mean? Does that kind of like makes it hard for you to love WWE kind of thing? You know what I mean? Like, is that how it's leaving you feeling a bit like, oh, you just know that another batch is coming and it just leaves you a bit deflated?
I mean, like, I don't get like pretty sad easily, but then all the like people losing their jobs, right? Nowadays, which is very unfortunate. So yeah, if when they find a place to that they can stay, so which is good for them. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Dion. The return of the good brother himself. Get warm, I say. Get snuggly.
Need more wool.
Need more wool. That doesn't look nearly thick enough. Mate, it's hard times out here. Yeah, look, Sat knows. Get in bed with Sat. big spoon, Sat. He looks great, I can imagine. All right, Dion, brother. I will catch you next week. Take it easy, my man. I'll tell you what, newest member, Chuck Cassis. Hey, man. Hey,
Chuck. Hello. Chuck. Oh, my gosh. Chuck.
Look, there he is.
Let's go.
I'm pretty sure they did that in Dodgeball as like Ben Stiller's team. They're like, anyway, Chuck, what's going on, brother?
Oh, man, I'm having a great day. How about you guys?
Yeah, not too bad at all, man. Not too bad. Awesome. You got 3 minutes on the clock, my man. What do you want to talk about?
3 minute warning.
Right. So I got a hot take for you guys.
We love hot takes.
I really enjoyed the Bischoff Hogan era of TNA. I am a big fan of Jeff. I mean, the belt sucked. The design sucked, but I love the immortal title, Jeff Hardy. I loved that era with Austin Aries, Bobby Roode, now Robert Roode. Loved the mustache. Wish it was back. You had AJ Styles. You had all these great. You had EC3 coming in late, in the later times. You had all these different people coming in, all these big stars today. And it's like, man,
Brooke those Hogan. Matches.
Brooke Hogan. Yeah.
Her and Bubba Ray having a great story.
Yeah. Oh my God. What aces and eights? Man. Taz. Ooh. Is it getting hot in here? But, oh my God. Yeah, I'm a big fan of that time period. And then I wish they did better storytelling. I mean, the matches were great for when they had actual matches, you know. Like, just wish they had better storytelling. I don't know, what do you guys think?
Sat, you want to go first?
I like the idea of aces and eights. Some of the execution was a bit rubbish. I mean, Bully Ray being the main eventer, he did really well. I feel like he was the prototype of what Kevin Owens became, like the big bullyish character that you see on television. I didn't mind some parts of it, but what I disliked about that era is guys like D'Angelo De Niro got pushed down the ladder because he looked like he was on the cusp of breaking out. He was on the cusp of breaking into the main event. AJ Styles just won the TNA title when Bischoff and Hogan came in. I mean, AJ Styles was doing great as AJ Styles, but they came in like, hey, brother, did you ever think you could be Ric Flair? You know, that's a stupid idea. Woo! And, you know, I like Ric Flair. You know, it's great seeing him, you know, off the cuff without Vince McMahon, you know, giving that reins in, because I feel like when Ric Flair is in WWE, you see a much more muted version. When he's outside WWE, he can be the Nate. So there's certain elements that I liked, but I do feel like that era is what ruined TNA in the end.
I miss Beer Money. That's my take.
Beer!
Oh my God, Beer Money was great.
Money! Mate,
Robert Roode with his sweet long hair. I miss it. I miss it every day. So Chuck, incredible debut, brother. We're going to have to let you go at this point, and we're going to sneak one more on before we call it a wrap. Welcome back anytime, and thank you for joining the Elite Good Eggs. Everyone make Chuck feel very welcome. They're the big dog. We need to find an emoji for that. There you go. Take care of yourself, brother. And I'm just going to go next in the line because there are... Can we get multiple people on? I don't know, man. It's hard. Look.
It'd be like a press conference.
Injection 2 Captain Dean Minor. There you go. We'll sneak a couple on. I will say it now because we're not going to have enough time. Nad, Kazab, which is Callum, and Breeze Joshi, who is, by the way, always a great guest. Not that the rest of you aren't, but you three will be the first three next week if you come on, right? If you want to be there, be the first three because we have run out of time. And yeah, my apologies. But D Minor and Injection 2K. You're the tag team. Look at this. Two on two, brother. Have you two got...
With a Tuesday night torture.
Yeah, Tuesday night torture. I feel like hot takes is the theme today, Sat, E Niangi. Do you two have any hot takes you want to share with us, be it of the news or in general?
Speaking of hot takes, I mean, like, Sat E was making too much hot takes yesterday. I think he was hotter than Stephanie Chase. And Stephanie Chase be bringing them hot takes. So I don't know what's going on today, but I just know that NXT fell off the moment Johnny Gargano, Aleister Black, Ricochet, and Tommaso Ciampa all went up to the main roster and DIY went back to NXT. Do I love me some DIY? Yes, I do. Very much. That's why I took offense to Seth's original take, but I thought about it throughout the night. I was like, they didn't ruin NXT, but they devalue the fact of it being developmental, where it really did not feel like it was a developmental brand. It just felt like it was trying to be the third brand, but it was always thought of to us as the developmental brand.
I don't think you can say that about them two, about putting Undisputed Era in the same bracket. They hung around too long as well.
Yeah,
but like, I mean, I'm not particularly agreeing with Sat and saying that they are like the reason this has collapsed or anything like that. But I feel like the same applies in that they outstayed their welcome. I can't believe the money left on the table by not having Undisputed Era on the main roster together at some point. D-Minor, man, what do you think?
So my whole thing, I actually have two hot takes, but one I'll say for later. But this one, my whole thing with WWE is you hoarded all these people so they couldn't go anywhere else. And then you make the statement, and I'm going to say the statement verbatim, but I'm sorry, the no vanilla midgets and all that stuff. Like, first off, whatever you're trying to do now, you did 30 years ago. Stop it. It didn't work back then. It's not going to work now. You need these so-called vanilla little people who are athletic, charismatic, stuff like that, who can boost your profile as a company. Not these big, yes, it's nice having big guys because you got Dijak and Keith Lee. You had Bronson Reed who could do some stuff. And then you see guys like Omos, stuff like that, who are getting better. But everybody say, oh, he's just like Kali back in the day with the selling. You need guys who are smaller in stature to make these big guys look more larger than life. You need that struggle. You need that David and Goliath storytelling. That's the thing about wrestling. It's not just, two big guys clashing together, blah, blah, blah. No, you need this guy has the title. He's the big guy. He's the man on campus. But you got this 5'10" guy, whatever, who has more charisma, is more athletic, has to break that big guy down. That is a story people can relate to. And I don't understand why they're just like, we need these huge steroid-looking guys, 6'8". I'm just like, that's not going to cut anymore. You're not going to have Hogan and all these other guys that you had back then, because look where they are now. You need guys like Ricochet, Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, then the guys you just released, Asher Hell. I watched a little bit of 205 Live. That dude was amazing. You need these young, like these up-and-coming guys. No matter how old they are, whatever, you're going to need these guys because they're going to last longer than what you had with those big physique guys who only last for so long.
You got like Steve Austin, what was he, 6'1", 6'2"?
60.
Not an enormous bloke, right? Like, he's big, but not enormous. That's a very good point I think D-Minor made there. You have Dijak on the main roster, which is essentially everything Vince wants. What's happened there? T-Bar, indeed. Any closing thoughts, fellas, before we move on? Because we have to finish off the show with an Ultra Chat. D-Minor, man, closing thoughts.
So I have one more hot take, and this one is going out to Sean Rossap himself. A couple weeks ago, he said that AW Dark and Dark Elevation doesn't have like feuds and storylines. Now, I'm not arguing against him, and I'm not trying to prove it wrong or anything like that. But there have been a bunch of storylines and feuds that either have gone on to AW Dynamite or just in that area of Dark Elevation, where you had like the Varsity Blonde stuff that actually got on to Dynamite. Right now, it's actually been going on for a while, but Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss, that's been going on for months.
Yeah.
That heel turn was lit.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. But and then driver. Also you have the stuff. But then you have the stuff with Britt Baker, who was using Dark and Dark Elevation to pad her record to become the number one contender for the title. Come on, Sean. I know you're a busy man, but you got to pay attention to the little details. I'm just kidding. I don't want him coming out to me, though. Sean, don't come out to me. We can have the conversation. I'm not trying to be like the smart mark dirt sheet thing that he always talks about. It's a open discussion we can have. But other than that, I do feel bad for all the NXT releases. Hopefully they find they will find success somewhere else. Whether it be New Japan, AEW, ROH, wherever we need to go. And as we kind of see it, I think WWE is going to just go further and further down, and NXT is just going to be, it's going to be that third brand that we don't really want. It's just going to be another Raw and SmackDown, I feel,
like, with like that ECW new
rebrand.
I believe that.
And also, I want to show this shirt real quick because,
Oh, Jeffro, love that. Look at that. TNA special.
Yep,
my man.
Yep, the guy who beat Karrion Kross.
And I don't forget that. D Minor, tremendous as usual, brother. I will let you exit now, my friend, so Injection 2K can finish up. Catch you next week. What's that as well? Show me that. Oh, yes, it's DJ Frostbite.
AKA.
He knows. Brother, stay frosty.
Yes.
D Minor, good brother. Injection, man, give us some closing thoughts.
I feel like when AEW, because it's going to happen, when AEW beats Raw in the ratings, that's when fans is going to look at AEW as competition. Will he change? I'm not going to say yes. I'm not going to say no. But AEW will definitely beat Raw in the ratings, and that's when Vince is going to start really looking at them as, oh, this is going to be bad. And then, two, I just saw a report on FIFO Select that everybody in the chat should go and subscribe to because they legit, and the thing with they see on Punk, if he debuts this year, I might cry because CM Punk was the reason why I stuck to wrestling. So, he was the best thing in wrestling, and they kind of just squandered him. They squandered the summer of Punk. They kind of redeemed it with CM Punk's title reign, but they squandered the summer of Punk.
And The Rock came in and said, I'll have some of that. And Kevin Nash, lest we forget. Man, there was a lot of bad decisions around then. My man, you're not wrong. I think you're going to be crying. I'm going to tell you that. I think you will be shedding a tear this year. Can't wait. Better let out, better let out. Better let out, better let out. Open my... Anyway, when that happens, it's going to be magnificent. Injection 2K, my man, we will catch you next week. Brother.
Take care, man.
I'll see y'all next.
Lovely, lovely bloke. I need to bring this up from the missus. Alex, you said earlier that you wanted a puppy so bad. If this is true, please can you make your three girls the happiest in the world and hurry up, in capitals, and buy us a puppy?
Ooh.
Yes.
Oh, Mrs. Mac, we hear that.
I spent like $400 on my car today, and you want a puppy?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Survey says.
I do want one.
Oh, you said it now. You said it to the world.
Look at this pressure I'm under in this house, man. I'm out here grinding. I'm the worker bee in this house, and you're putting pressure on me to buy dogs. I put food on this table.
The head of the table, guys.
I am the head of the table in this house.
And you know you'd love a little dog to wag its tail and just cuddles.
Get into my heart and God's sake.
Love it. Ultra chat.
Pressure. yes. Game crashing forever. Alex, hope you kept an eye on your show yesterday. Sack did the old heel turn. From now on, we are having our new Monday show called The Heelish Hour. Ooh, he cut a You People pro.
Who are you people in?
Huh?
The wrestling Daily community. I said, you people let NXT lose the ratings, and you cry here. The big sweaty men are taking over. What did you expect? What did you expect?
I'm crying. Hey, Mac, you people,
it's true. Hey, Mac, if NXT won the rating war, we wouldn't be in this situation. So I'm like, you people are the reason why you chose AEW over NXT. You turned it back on them. Enough's enough. It's time for a change. In the words of the great late Owen Hart.
Man, brother. That's not the end of it, by the way. He cut a You People promo. The whole thing shooting from the hip. The show was on fire. I have heard very good things. I was at a meal with my partner before she tried to seduce me into buying a dog. And I didn't get a chance to watch it because if I had had it on my phone, murder. But I do intend to watch it back today or tomorrow because I've heard nothing but good things. And that's the plan going forward, guys. Like, I know it is Alex McCarthy's Wrestling Daily, and I may drop in on a Monday or so. But but it is, you know, it's this whole thing has been about giving other people opportunities. Like, you know, like really, like there wasn't any women or people of color on wrestling or Wrestle Talk before Wrestling Daily. Really, SP3 and Sat, of course, and Steph have all found themselves a home here in Wrestling Daily and have all done magnificently well, I think. So I am very proud to hear of this great development on Monday, man. Like every day of the week, Wrestling Daily's got something for you guys. So makes me very, very happy, very proud, especially if you sat and you come a long way, brother. Huh?
Yes. Listen, you're the head of the table. You're the head of the table.
Get that pup. Get that
pup. Get that
pup. Sat is not what? Don't get on. You? Not you, brother. Come on.
Everyone's saying you get the dog.
Yeah. I have to dip up with this. Then I have to watch Love Island. It's all going tits up. Listen, we're not. That's it right now. Wrestling Daily has done for another day. Sat, I love being with you as usual, brother. Thank you so much. You guys, top right-hand corner, Sat next to. Follow that man on Twitter. You can see my handle in the top left as well, AlexM_TalkSport. Guys, come and join us tomorrow. Me and SB3, the originals, are back on Wednesday. And then Steph and I, of course, on Thursday. And in the next couple of weeks, I'm hoping to confirm this. I think it's not premature to say, but the Friday before SummerSlam, it's going to be all four of the Wrestling Daily
come on
in one show.
Crossover. But
only the second time ever, all four co-hosts.
The Wrestling Daily verse. This is like Avengers. When you get all the individual films, you put it together. It's a super show, guys. It's what we've been waiting for. You know, Sat E is finally going to meet Miss Dynamite.
You heard it here first. Guys, thank you so much for watching Wrestling Daily. You take care.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.